We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And before we get this bad boy rocking, just a reminder to go to WBEN.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Spirit of the Dance, the world's greatest Irish dance show on June 9th at the Falls View Casino Resort in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. And you can enter now through Friday, May 24th at WBEN.com. So there you have it. Also, stay listening for the WBEN cash code word. We'll have several new words coming up for you, right? After the news at 4, after the news at 5, after the news at 6, your opportunity to win $1,000 from News Radio 930 WBEN. David Bellavia, hectic weekend for you, busy weekend?
Yeah, we maintained. We're here.
You maintained.
You? Yeah, you know, Tom, would you like to make an announcement?
About
New York 27. It's about time you stop keeping yourself out of this.
I am in close consultation with my nearest political advisors.
By the way, there was a pause like you had other announcements to make.
Well, yeah.
So I wanted to be careful.
The one about herpes?
No. We're talking about New York 27.
Oh, NY 27. Okay. So, yeah, I was in close consultation with my nearest political advisors over the weekend, including my cat. And Mrs. Nerd and Mark Christie from Flipside. And we may very well have an announcement concerning NY27 and my participation in the congressional race to possibly replace Chris Collins. And I just want to say that I will out right-wing Stefan Mihailu. I will out-support Donald Trump, Stefan Mihailu. I will out-talk Stephen Hawley. And I will try my best to represent the citizens of NY27. If, of course, I throw my hat into the ring, and we're still in deep consultation about that.
The only people that I think are officially in this thing, I mean, Russ Thompson yesterday said that he was strongly considering it. Michael Caputo said he was strongly considering it. And Chris Jacobs is definitely in the race. But you've got Senator Ort, who will more than likely be in the race. Mihailu is definitely going to be in the race eventually.
He sure sounds like it.
I believe Steve Hawley would be committing professional malpractice to not go into this race. So I think Stephen Hawley, Assemblyman Hawley, will be in this race. I see David DiPietro jumping in this thing, too. And then you've got Razenhofer. And then you've got a possibility of Pat Gallivan, Senator Gallivan, jumping in the race. I mean, it's got the I heard Lori Fry's name.
Wow.
As a potential candidate.
Wow.
And I haven't heard from her at all. But
no.
Listen, there's no women
in
this
field. Well, I've been practicing. David, I've been practicing for the rural vote. I shouldn't really admit this on the air. I spent 5 hours over the weekend learning how to milk a cow. Turns out it was a bull. But it was you know, a little overflowing, but it worked.
No, there's a lot of things that you know, but again, no women have come out as in the Republican field as being potential candidates, and you know, I think that that's without Lynn Dixon, who's really a registered independent, she's not even a Republican, but there's not enough female representation in the Republican Party currently.
I've learned one thing about politics, watching politics: always give the advantage, always give to the edge to the person who can self-fund a campaign.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a huge
always
benefit.
Give that person the edge.
And then give the second edge to the person, you know, then you got to look at the district and you've got to see, you know, how is it going to fly? I mean, look, they're attacking Chris Jacobs. I mean, Chris Jacobs literally did 5 minutes in. They're like, Chris Jacobs is the worst human being in the world. He's not. It's unfair to attack a man you know, without even hearing what his platforms are, where he stands on anything.
Well, how about there's another name in this room, David, that has seriously come up for consideration as NY27. It's a guy who has sought a congressional seat before. His name is David Bellavia, or as I used to call him, David Bellavia.
That's right. When you endorse Chris Collins.
Chris Collins.
That's right. That all happened. That's all true. You know, I've already made my decision. I'm just in a situation here at the station where, you know, one of the two things is got to happen here. I make my decision, and I'm not able to do the day job. You know, if I announce my decision, I can't do the day job.
This is true.
So that's the only – but I don't need consultation with anyone.
So are you inclined to do it or not to do it? If you could.
Let me say this. This is one thing I'll say. Chris Collins is wounded, but he's not dead, okay? I have a lot more respect for a sitting congressman than I think a lot of other people do that are talking about this race. And a lot of these guys that are flexing their big boy muscles, they could have taken a swing at Chris Collins when he was at the height of his power, right? I mean, he lost the Erie County executive race, but he was Lily White. He had a ton of money, he had time, and he put all of his efforts into running for Congress. I would have loved to have had some friends in that primary race to maybe spread some of that money around and give the voters a choice. None of those guys wanted to stick their head above the ground back in 2012. Not a single one of them wanted to get toe-to-toe with Chris Collins. Now that there's a pending charge in the Southern District of New York, everyone sees blood in the water and they all want to jump in the game. I find that laughable. Where were these guys? If Chris Collins is the worst person in the world, which you're going to hear from every one of these people in the primary, why weren't they saying that in 2012? The fact of the matter is, Chris Collins has been a consistent conservative in the House of Representatives. His loyalty to Donald Trump and the president are without question. And there's a very good chance. If you want to label this thing as, you know, insider trading, it's the worst thing in the world. What this case really is about is a guy trying to take care of his son. I mean, it really shows a part of Chris Collins that we've never seen in elected office, which is, you know, he's the rub against Chris Collins has always been he's not, you know, personal, and he doesn't have that soft spot to him.
He's this, robotic.
This is the most selfless thing a man can do, all right, because he is essentially saying, I'm not going to cut a deal. I'm not going to throw my kid under the bus. I'm going to fight this thing all the way. Because whether or not, you know, Chris Collins did not line his pocket off this deal. Chris Collins did not make a penny off this deal. Whether his son did something on his own or was informed to do it or was encouraged to do it, we'll find all that out. But right now, Chris Collins could have cut a deal and been rid of this case if he turned his son over. And he didn't do that. So I think the man deserves a little bit of credit. And the other thing is, I kind of don't, I don't know. I think that when you are going to go all in and you're going to attack someone, you know, this guy hasn't changed his personality or the way he legislates for 9 years now. So why are we jumping on the bandwagon now? Because he's got an indictment. Now it's attractive for, it's easier for someone to go after Chris Collins.
But I have not heard an unequivocal no from David Bellavia.
I think they'll throw me out of here. If I give you my answer.
Well, there was worse things in life.
No, listen, I'm just telling you, there's no consultation. I made up my mind. Every one of these candidates should say the same thing because they've all made up their mind. They're just playing the game. I'm just saying I want to keep this gig.
This one right here.
Yeah.
With me.
Well, that comes with it.
That's stunning. I'm just the baggage. I'm just the baggage you have to carry around under your arm.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I what would happen if I today said I'm in this race?
Well, it would be
leave.
It would be a solo show.
It would be a solo show, and I'd rather not do that. Not for the listener, for myself.
No, that would be that
it's
would
my
be
selfish
highly,
reason.
Highly unfortunate. Highly unfortunate. But okay, how about the school of thought? And we got into this conversation about NY27. How about the school of thought that Chris Collins is going to resign? That he realizes he's wounded and he's going to step down for the good of the party.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris Collins is the only one in this potential primary that really isn't in control of his decision. I mean, that's the truth. Chris Collins doesn't have control over what he's going to do because You know, and again, I really, people that are like, what are you talking about? The evidence is overwhelming. Look at insider trading cases. They're not slam dunk cases.
Nothing is slam dunk.
You also have a guy who participated with the FBI, and maybe he wasn't well versed in what he should say and what he shouldn't say. But if you're going to tell me that the FBI has all the credibility in the world, we know how this Trump investigation has shown us that the FBI can lie to you. They can lie to you all day and all night.
And
you
can just be weaponized.
You cannot lie to the FBI. Now, what is a lie? Are you going to tell me Michael Flynn lied to the FBI? He didn't remember a date. He didn't remember a phone call. If this turns out that the lie that Chris Collins told the FBI was, you know, this date was wrong, or this or, you know, was a categoric denial of a phone call or a timing of a phone call. I'm sorry, but it is a different world when it comes to the credibility of the Federal Bureau of Investigation today than it was when these charges were filed. And, you know, whether or not he gets any love from the Southern District, can we all acknowledge that the fact that they indicted Chris Collins at the time that they indicted him was 100% a political move, without a doubt. There was no need to do that.
Because
with
nobody
council.
In history had ever been indicted that close to an election before?
That was absurd.
As I recall, that was the statistic that was given out at the time. Nobody had ever been indicted that close to an election previous to Chris Collins.
And they did that because they want to pile on Chris Collins. I'm going to tell you what, if you put seven people in a primary field, the incumbent has the name recognition. One thing we know about Chris Collins is base is that they're rock solid. They're going to vote for Chris Collins no matter what. That's what he's built over the years. They're not going anywhere. And is that enough? Is that over 13-14%? AOC won her primary with 16% of the vote. If you put enough people in a primary, an incumbent stands a pretty good chance. Now, what happens if an indictment and a ruling happens? Well, that's out of his hands, you know,
right.
Completely.
Well, what happens? Okay, let's just throw a curveball into this whole mix. Nick Langworthy is expected to be the next head of the New York State Republican Party.
A huge for
Western. Ed Cox no longer will be the head of the New York State Republican. At what point does Nick Langworthy have sway and influence over whom the Republicans actually go for in terms of NY27? Doesn't that put him kind of in the driver's seat?
No, well, it wouldn't, though, because, I mean, first of all, obviously Nick is not going to be the Erie County Chair and the New York State Chair. But if Nick was, you know, working, and by the way, that's a huge deal for Western New York. I mean, not for Republican, Democrat. It's a huge deal that a Buffalo guy, as young as he is, and is taking over the state party. We needed that. I mean, we were hemorrhaging with Ed Cox, horrible leader of the Republican Party. So Nick Langworthy gets that job promotion, now running the state. None of these county. Republican committee chairman will have any say because it's a primary. So outside of having the signatures that you're going to need and using different chair people to carry your petitions or anything else, it's going to be decided on a primary vote. So whether they support or endorse, maybe the county chairs endorse people. Maybe they do that. Maybe they sit it out because there's 15 people in the race. I don't know. How many people can get the signatures? How many people will actually end up going through the primary? It's a, you know.
But you know, there's another, despite the situation with the enrolled voters in NY27, there is going to be another player in this, at least one other player in this, and that will be the endorsed Democrat candidate. And what kind of names are we hearing out of the other side?
We've heard a lot of names. We've heard, you know, Kathy Hochul's name, which I wouldn't put a lot of weight on that because I think she's going to wait for 2022 when it's redistricted. We've heard Howard Zemsky's name, which is, I think, the most fascinating thing. You know, here's a guy, no one really knows his political party. He's never really been partisan on anything. He's been a huge influencer when it comes to upstate New York, Western New York in particular, the amount of money and development that has happened in New York State. I think Buffalo means Buffalo First or whatever that paper was. He's the most influential person in Western New York. Business First, yeah. Top five most influential people in Buffalo. If he decided to run, you know, again, we don't know anything about his politics. We always assume when you're connected to New York State what your politics are. But again, seems to have a very good reputation, name recognition, tons of money. If he shows up on the Democratic side, what do you do? Nate McMurray What's Nate McMurray going to do? Is he going to run again? Does Nate McMurray, I mean, does Nate McMurray have a future in the Democratic Party? Nobody wants him. And by the way, that's pretty good for New York 27. It's not. It's an R plus 11. But if the Democrats hate you, who hates Nate McMurray more? The Albany Democrats or the Albany Republicans? But at the end of the day, none of those things matter to voters. They like a candidate or they don't like a candidate, right?
All about likability and money.
Yeah, so he knows the district. He was able to raise money. I mean, look, the percentage point that he lost, if the DCCC gave him one commercial, he could have won that race. I mean, that's how close it was. They didn't want to help him. You know, what does that tell you? Well, he's not far left enough for the Democrats. He's not, you know, off the radar when it comes to the AOC green energy deal and stuff like that. So McMurray is a wild card in this as well. And, you know, but you got Caputo. Here's the thing about Caputo. I know we all know Caputo and, you know, he's the radio guy. But if this is really going to be, Mihailu hinted that this is all about Trump, right? If Caputo is the candidate and this is really about Russia and Trump, wouldn't you want Michael Caputo on the Intelligence Committee looking at these people saying, hey, you know what? You went after me. You didn't think it was going to come back. Here's a boomerang. I'm the congressman, and I'm going to make sure that this never happens again.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
That would be really cool.
That would be fascinating beyond words.
Carter Page is a senator.
So, I mean, it all basically, isn't it safe to say at this point that as far as NY27 is concerned, that under indictment, not under indictment, trial, no trial, that Chris Collins really is in the driver's seat because a lot of influence and a lot of decisions are going to hinge upon what Chris Collins decides to do, whether he's going to stick it out, whether he's going to step down, whether he is going to throw his support behind somebody?
Chris Collins as a favorite is, you know, a tough candidate. Chris Collins as an underdog will claw your chest out. I mean, he will rip your beating heart out of your chest. And he hasn't been an underdog often. But when he is his most effective when you count him out. And right now, everybody is counting him out. And I'm saying, don't count out Chris Collins. This guy is a skill level 5 Politico. He knows this district. He knows how to campaign, and he knows how to get you. And all these people that are thinking, well, Chris Collins, Southern District, to take care of him. But what if they don't? What happens? I mean, you can't just say, I'm going to run against Chris Collins and he's going to run away. Right now, Chris Collins is an underdog. That's where he wants to be. And he can do a lot of damage if you put 8 people in that race. Mihailu's people go here. The rural people go over there. Senator Ort, who seems to be like an up-and-coming star in the Republican Party, they jump on that wagon. But that base is still there, and they're not leaving Collins. And if that's over 14-15%, he wins. It's crazy.
Hey, this just in, Mrs. Nerd Bowerly is considering a run in NY27.
I heard Lori Fry's name. I'm just throwing it out there. But she obviously was on television before, has name recognition, always has kept up on these issues. I think she's a fascinating candidate. Someone that's from the private sector, that's built a business with her husband, a quality person who knows the issues, has name recognition, isn't afraid to get in front of a camera. Where are the other women that are running for national office in New York State on the Republican side? We don't see them. It's Maggie Brooks in Monroe County, and that's the only real you know, we can't even call the county executive race a Republican because, of course, she's running as an independent.
So we're just talking off the air about a lot of things on News Radio 930 WBEN. A lot of things. And, you know, we kind of came to some interesting conclusions about NY27.
We came into a lot. Hey, it was actually a fitting metaphor to NY27. But we were actually talking about, we did this on Hardline a little bit. But, you know, Jack Davis, you know, Tom Reynolds race in 2006, very just a close race, a bitter race. Those guys hammered each other. Many people believe, you know, Reynolds was assisted by the ice storm, you know, because people lost power like right before the
October 2006.
Yeah. And people lost power, didn't get it back. Reynolds brought like a ton of cash, federal money in to help that out. And it did wonders for him. But Jack Davis was running the Donald Trump message. 10 years later, almost 10 years to the day, Donald Trump would become president of the United States running an exact replica of the campaign that Jack Davis ran. Jack Davis on free trade. You know, I remember Davis in Lockport, Niagara County, talking to Harrison Radiator people that NAFTA, there was, who would you point to? These guys lost their jobs. They went north of the border. They went south of the border. Jack Davis on immigration. He was against free trade. He was talking about nationalism. He was talking about populism. All of these things were essentially Trump's campaign. And look at the way, you know, Davis ran as a Democrat, then moved over as a Republican. But look at how the party of how Trump has been able to move the Republican Party, unlike any modern president. You know, it's no longer the Bush party. It's no longer the free trade party. This is a completely different party, and it was really Jack Davis would have had a home.
But, you know, taking it one step further, if you look at what Jack Davis said, a lot of what Jack Davis said, you can look back at the election which provided us with President Bill Clinton, and you can look at H. Ross Perot and the giant sucking sound you hear from the trade deficit.
That's very true. I mean, that's an excellent point, too. Now, Perot was a little agnostic when it came to some of the other issues that that Davis was talking about in 06, though. Davis was outspoken on immigration. Davis was talking about, you know, civil liberties and guns and other. But see, those things, Reynolds was on the same page, so it wasn't like you could find distance between Tom Reynolds and Jack Davis on the Constitution or guns or anything else. But at the time, you know, the party position, the Republican Party was a free trade party. Everything else was sacrilege. This is who we are. This is what we're about. Right off the end of the Cold War, which was basically Levi jeans and Coca-Cola and Marlboros, are what took the wall down in Berlin. The communism fell and then resurfaced, but the Soviet Union disintegrated because, you know, the people were screaming out for Western goods and the things that people have in the West. Now, Perot, though, was, I think, the father of all of that. But the 2016, Trump and Perot differed on probably three main platforms that Perot was pushing. You know, Perot was also huge about bringing POWs home at a time when that was just really awkward and uncomfortable to talk about POWs from Vietnam.
Right. And boy, did things change after 9/11 in terms of the people's perception of the military, appreciation of the military, appreciation of veterans. It was a palpable, discernible shift in public opinion.
It really was. And it's a trickle-down system, too. I mean, there was a time when, you know, you could talk about robust military spending at a time of peace. You know, what? No one really has any idea. There's no real skin in the game. What's the worst that could happen if we don't increase funding? You know, no one's in harm's way. This is totally different now, and it affects both parties. It affects those elections. It's really incredible to see how, you know, what really George W. Bush was able to do something in a midterm election that no president was able to do because of 9/11. You know, it really wasn't the policies of George W. Bush that allowed the Republican Party to pick up seats in both houses. It was because 9/11 happened and, you know, we were at a wartime footing.
We are Bowerly and Bellavia. It is 3:40 at News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Didn't mean to get started off on this foot, but it's a good foot on which to start off. One more time, David, Nick Langworthy. If we have a Buffalo guy who ends up being the head of the New York State Republican Party, given the enrollment in New York State, why does that matter?
Well, first of all, it means that there's going to be representation of upstate in these decisions. You're not just going to go to one county every, you know, 4 years and find a gubernatorial candidate like we have been. How much difference would it have made if Nick Langworthy was, or any Buffalonian, was running the state party in 2009, 2010? You know, that era, you had Paladino, you had a bunch of Senate races, U.S. Senate races, that would have been totally changed, the type of candidate that we selected. If Paladino got enough push from the state party, that might have been a different result. But certainly, you know, Alazio and, you know, the folks that we're grabbing and recruiting, we're not raising them money. We're not bringing them to the areas of the state that they have to go to. But Langworthy, that, and that's just great to have a Buffalonian as the state chair. But in Langworthy, you're bringing a total blood transfusion right. to the way the we're talking. I mean, what Nick has been able to do in Erie County with young GOP Republicans, college age Republicans, is really something that should be the pride of the entire state. More young people in Erie County are involved. There's diverse young people. It's not just, you know, white kids wearing, you know, Carnegie sweaters. You know, it's not Michael J. Fox and Family Ties. We're talking women and different minorities and whatnot. So more people, more representing, and the creative ways that young people, and I say Nick is a young guy, but using the internet, using different ways to fundraise. Ed Cox, he had 5 donors. That's all he had. It was his little circle of friends, and he would tell stories about President Nixon.
But, you know, it is.
I mean, seriously, that's all he did. He didn't. You don't leave an Ed Cox speech and want to do anything other than, you know, have another bowl of fudge and take a nap. I mean, the guy had the charisma of a mealworm.
But it is somewhat disconcerting to realize that the last statewide office that was held by somebody from Western New York was the state attorney general's job that was held by Dennis Vacco. If you think about it, I mean, Kathy Hochul on the Democrat side, but in terms of the Republican side.
Yeah, Jacobs was Secretary of State.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Does that count, though, Secretary
sure.
of State?
It's an important position. Should count.
What is he, like, appoint ambassadors to Lithuania and stuff?
It actually is a huge part of, like, controlling the, there's a lot of approvals that have to be made.
I stand corrected.
The office is a pretty respected office. It's not an easy one to get either.
But I always thought of Dennis Vacco as being the guy because I always thought the state attorney general's job was a very high profile.
Yeah, Dennis Vacco also with U.S. attorney, state attorney. Dennis Vacco is one of the, I think, you know, when you look at influential people and just someone who's been around and maintained the reputation, that's really hard to do. Because an attorney general, normally that's a leapfrog right into governor. We've seen that, 3 times now? From Spitzer to Cuomo himself to everyone else. It's like, you put on the training wheels to get into the mansion. But the other thing is, when you leave the attorney general role, normally you're a pariah. No one wants to deal with you because you're, you know, so unpopular and divisive. Dennis Vacco was able to actually get more respect and more admiration after he was attorney general and U.S. attorney. It's a rare feat.
We are at 3:45 almost at News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930 is the on-air number, 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, we talk about Albany. I've been talking about, obviously, NY27 and some of the stuff related to Albany. But there is yet another new bill that has been introduced in Albany, David. And, you know, I mean, every day it seems there comes a new bill and a new way to get things done and a new way to view things. But we've all had the experience of somebody crossing the sidewalk, crossing the street in front of us when they're yammering away on their cell phones. And this is one of those proposals that sounds like government overreach, and maybe it is nanny state government overreach. But on the other hand, I think it's also something that people can relate to as drivers who are sitting there trying to get through an intersection and somebody is yammering away on the cell phone without a care in the world or seemingly oblivious that they're even on their cell phone. There's actually a bit of legislation that has been introduced in Albany which would ban people from texting and walking. I say that again. It would ban you from texting and walking. This is a new bill, and it's been introduced in the New York State Senate, and it would make it illegal for pedestrians to cross the street while using their cell phones. State lawmakers considering fines that could range from $50 to $150, depending on the number of offenses. This is a bill that says don't text while crossing the street. Wait the 10 seconds to get to the other side, and it's been sponsored by Queens Senator John Liu out of New York. There have been other similar laws that have been passed in smaller cities in Hawaii and California. It would be a statewide law, depending on the municipality. It could be the police. It could be other law enforcement officers, according to State Senator Liu. So is this government overreach, or is this something that is long overdue? And is it just the texting, or is it talking on the cell phone? And is it just talking on the cell phone, or is it having earbuds in, listening to music on the cell phone? Because the cell phone component of a cell phone doesn't really count anymore, because none of us have cell phones. We all have computers that we carry around that, they also double as cell phones. You know, we watch videos, we stream what we want to stream. A lot of people have their earbuds in when they're out for a jog. So there are so many ways that somebody could get nailed with this, depending on exactly the wording of the bill and how it's enforced.
You know, Assemblyman Ortiz out of Brooklyn, this is like the third time he's introduced this bill. I give Senator Kennedy a tremendous amount of credit without, you know, cheapening the fact that he believes that there are laws you can pass to protect pedestrians. Senator Kennedy's saying that this thing's not going to see the light of day, that he's going to work very hard to kill this in the Senate, because it's stupid. I mean, it's a dumb law. $25 to $50 would be the first time fee fine that you could get for your first offense. If you have a second offense within 18 months of your first offense, it can go up to $250. And essentially, you know, who's going to enforce this?
Well, presumably it would be the local police, presumably, because they don't have enough to do, apparently.
Well, especially in New York City. I mean, the other thing is that where is this really a problem? This is, I mean, talk about New York State only cares about New York City. You don't really see this as a, there's always that, you know, the video of the surveillance footage showing someone walking into a pond or a, you know.
walking into a sinkhole.
Yeah, whatever it is, but that's few and far between. And most of that happens in China.
All right, stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. So does New York State need a law which would stop people from using their cell phones if they're crossing the street? And David, you know, the wording of this is a little bit vague, because some of the articles say texting. Other people say using the cell phone unless it is an emergency. But I'm not seeing anywhere here that it would be illegal for somebody to have earbuds in while they're jogging or out for the walk, and they just happen to have the cell phone as their music medium.
Now, yeah, I think what they're going to go with is distraction. Whatever is distracting you from, you know, walking. It's going to get to the point where if you're, you know, looking at something for over 6 seconds while you're, you know, walking down the road, that then you're distracted. You know, in the old days, it could be someone that was attractive. It could be, you know, one of those, you know, and then what's so funny to me of how we differentiate between cell phones and distractions. We don't fine people for dressing up as giant hot dogs on Transit Road, running around saying, pull in here, get yourself a, you know what I mean? Every time you go by a place selling TV, there's an ostrich, you know, playing volleyball and car washes. There's tons of distractions.
Waving arm guy.
What's a billboard? A billboard is a distraction.
Supposed to be.
So eliminate billboards. Eliminate skywriting. Eliminate attractive people.
Oh, skywriting is the best distraction of all.
Could you imagine? I mean, you're looking straight up, and, you know, that's probably not a good idea either.
Saw one of those not too long ago. I forget where, and I forget what it was trying to spell out. That's the problem with skywriting. It takes so long to get that message out. If you're driving, you can't just stare at the whole thing and wait for it to be done.
Imagine a police officer pulls you over and says, excuse me, but you are far too attractive to be on Transit Road. People are getting into accidents everywhere. Did you have to wear those Lee jeans, Phil Kennedy? Not today.
That happens too many to Phil all the time.
Wranglers. Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.